Sonic, there is a difference between a resurgence and a second wave in the context of COVID-19. What is the difference, and where are we currently?
Yeah, so that's a very complicated question, I guess, in a sense. So resurgence, in general, the way we're defining it in South Africa, is an increase in cases that goes beyond. We've set some limits. We said an alert would be beyond 10%, resurgence beyond 20%. A second wave is really, I suppose, a longer period of time of resurgence, if you can think about it that way, where the rise in test positivity just continues upwards on an upward trajectory over a long period of time. And if we looked around the world at some other countries that have had the second waves, generally they've actually only defined that second wave when they're well into the second wave. So we usually then would think of it as an alert first, resurgence, and then a second wave.
Now, that alert has already been sent out for places yes. along the Garden Route, Knysna, George, the Hessequa region. But if I'm looking at the numbers that have been released, if I look at the 16th of November, we had a total active case rate of about 4,700. Last night, by 1 p.m. yesterday, the Western Cape total active case rate was 6,527. That is almost a 2,000, that's about 1,800 more active cases in the space of a week, 7 days. That must be a concern.
That is a huge concern, and that's why we are extremely worried about, particularly at this stage, the Garden Route. So that increase that you mentioned now in active cases, well around 2,000, that's driven largely by the Garden Route. But in fact, we're also seeing an increase in active cases and new cases in the metropole and virtually all areas of the metropole where that is actually happening. So it's actually a huge concern to us. And obviously, the increase in cases will drive naturally an increase in hospitalizations. So along with that, we've noticed this increase also since about the first week of October. We currently, as of yesterday, for example, had 850 people in our hospitals, public and private, in comparison to, say, the first week of October, when we had roughly about 550 people in hospital. And obviously that will result in additional daily deaths, which have also gone up. Our oxygen utilization is beginning to go up as well. And also of concern is the test positivity rate has been climbing. So we've been running roughly at around 10%, even under 10%. We are now sitting at 16% test positivity. And that's a concern because that shows us that going forward, the numbers are just going up.
I'm looking at some graphs here about where we were this time in lockdown. We're looking at our daily active cases. We're looking at about where we were in June of this year. And I think if I can guesstimate, that was probably around level 5, maybe level 4 of lockdown.
Yes.
Lots of concern. That was still a period of people still very much staying indoors, industries still closed, people, you know, not being called back to work. We now have a fairly open economy at the moment with only a few restrictions, like when it comes to curfews and other restrictions, restaurants that can allow only X amount of people. But we are fairly open. We're about as open as we can be under these circumstances. Isn't that then worrying that around about June, July, we were still struck with fear, many of us staying indoors. We still saw an increase in cases. Now we have a fairly open economy. And similarly, we could possibly, and I'm just guessing here, we could have possibly, and hopefully not, an increase greater than we saw at our peak during our first wave of infections.
Huge concern to us. Exactly as you said, that danger, I guess it's a dangerous combination of the excess mobility, the mobility of people were compared to lockdown, as well as, in fact, as what we've noticed in these cluster outbreaks is this huge complacency that has just crept in. Maybe it's COVID fatigue, but our people have just become so complacent now. That is a potentially explosive situation, particularly given that there are Black Friday or Black November super spread events coming up. We know that, for example, our Department of Economic Affairs had a meeting with all the major mall owners last week to look at how they can safely make sure that businesses do remain open, because we are expecting long queues, thousands of people to throng the stores, and that combination is an explosive situation.
The Western Cape government has also asked people who are hosting events, who may be considered super spready events, to apply for health clearance certificates. It's all good and well to have a certificate, but if there is no policing of those regulations, if there's no policing of guidelines standing in 1.5 meters apart, especially in a Black Friday scenario where we know as soon as the doors open, people are just going to go gung-ho. You know, whose responsibility is that? Is it the mall's responsibility? Is it security guard's responsibility? Or from, you know, we're still living under a state of national disaster. Is it then also the police's responsibility to say we need to enforce health regulations? In fact, I've never seen a police officer stop an individual in the public and say, where's your mask? Could you please put it on?
It's a combination of responsibilities. And in fact, that was what this meeting was all about. And the authorities would be that, for example, we start with the Department of Labor. They've got labor inspectors. Those labor inspectors are allowed to close workplaces and close areas where they think that they're not non-compliant, right? We've also got, don't forget, we've got the Western Cape Liquor Authority, who also obviously ensure, adherence to regulations in that respect of alcohol sales. Then there's the SAPS of obviously for any potential big issues where, or drunken behavior, disorderly behavior, etc. Those can be reported to SAPS. And then the City of Cape Town also has law enforcement authorities. But I think my sense would be that I would like to appeal to the general public that if, and we will be putting out notices with contact numbers, if people observe businesses or social gatherings where there's non-compliance and adherence with the regulations, to in fact report that. I think it's our civil duty to in fact report those to the authorities so that action can actually be taken. And I mean, it's for our own benefit and our own health at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, and the reason why there was the limit on alcohol sales the last time was out of the advice from particularly our EMS, particularly from our emergency wards, saying that we cannot handle the influx and we need to prepare for COVID patients. Does the provincial health authority, do they have an open line to the Western Cape Liquor Board to say, temporarily, can you withhold licenses or to instruct that sales be limited? Or is that a national competency? Must that come from national government to say various parts of our economy, only they can institute or make that decision whether certain industries, clubs, bars, restaurants, liquor outlets, they close temporarily or limit the hours?
Yes, I think that's a national competency, but obviously we have the local enforcement responsibility on our side again. And it's a huge concern. Look, a festive season's upon us virtually, and we know traditionally the mobility of people and there are going to be office functions and social gatherings and alcohol is going to be served. And, so this time of the year is under normal circumstances a very busy time for EMS and for our acute facilities. Added to that, we've now have a pandemic to deal with as well. Our occupancy, for example, in our hospitals on average in the metropole is just about 80%, in fact, 79%. Now, an 80% hospital is worldwide generally regarded as an actually full hospital, because there's turnaround time and all other little bits of time that gets added into that equation. So we're expecting a massively busy time, given that combination of people moving around, alcohol being freely available, increase in trauma and violence. And we've been on Cape Talk many times around our Sentinel report and the data that has shown the direct relationship between alcohol and people moving around. Sadiq, we're worried about it. Yes, we remain worried.
Sadiq, can I ask you this in your opinion as a doctor? I don't know if you can extract yourself from your official designation. I have a little bit of a campaign. It's called Nux Christmas 2020. It's called Nux Christmas 2020. And that, you know, employers should probably do the responsible thing. Pay people on the 24th of December. Cancel those December vibes. Your opinion as a medical officer, not an employee of the Western Cape government.
I'd worked as a medical officer in Crossroads and Khayelitsha for many years, and I can as a clinician, obviously, and I can tell you that festive season, Christmas time, New Year's time, our trauma units are literally overrun. I can't describe carnage. The word is probably just that comes to mind immediately. It's just the carnage that our trauma units experience over this period of time. If we could cancel Christmas, or at least maybe the call must be to have Christmas and festive season responsibly, you know, rather than just a normal. This is not going to be a normal Christmas. And it's not going to be a normal festive season.
And we've seen the Muslim community, we've seen the Jewish community observe festivals, holy days during this time of lockdown. They made it through it. And I'm sure Christmas can be a little bit more muted this year. Sadiq Karim is the Chief Operations Officer at the Western Cape Department of Health. Thanks so much for joining us.